The thing that we want to talk about with respect to metamorphosis is how this process happens. And some things you may or may not know about butterflies is they start out as an egg. And the butterfly actually lays eggs, hundreds to thousands of eggs. And those eggs are placed on plants, and the egg out of the egg comes a caterpillar. And sometimes that's referred to as a larvae. So if you heard the word larvae before, or caterpillar, they're pretty much the same thing. A caterpillar has pretty much one job, and that is to eat as much as it possibly can, because it's going to have a job to do in this process called metamorphosis. Now, there's a lot of butterflies out. You know, there's only one species of human. But you know how many species of butterflies there are? There's over 180,000 different species of butterfly. But they're all under this one category, which in the scheme of naming things is called an order. And the order under which the butterfly is called Lepidoptera. And yes, I did have to work on that a few times to get it right. And I didn't know it until recently. Lepidoptera. And if you are a person that likes to study butterflies, then you will be a lepidopterist. Because the reason why being that most butterflies are in the order Lepidoptera. Within the order of Lepidoptera, as I said, there's about over 180,000 species. So it's huge. And as you have probably noticed, butterflies all over the country are not the same. And in other areas of the world, they're not the same. But all of them go through the same stages. They all start as an egg, and then they become this larvae, or caterpillar. And from the caterpillar, the next stage is called the pupa, P-U-P-A. And the last stage, of course, is the adult. We generally call the larvae a caterpillar, and you've probably all seen caterpillars. They're usually green, and sometimes they have spots on them, and they'll have several legs, and they have something on their face, which are called mandibles, and they eat. They just eat leaves until this time comes when they can create this thing called a pupa, and they wrap themselves up in it, and sometime after that, during the process, while they're in the pupa, they completely change. Now, this pupa sometimes is usually called, although I don't call it that, I just call it the cocoon, but it's not really a cocoon. It's really called a chrysalis. And it has a hard skin, and it's not really a cocoon. But once it's completely made, then a mature adult will come out of that pupa. Now, like most other insects, butterflies and moths are of this type of metamorphosis. It's called holometabolous. They're holometabolous, H-O-L-O-M-E-T-A-B-O-L-O-U-S, something for you to forget here in the next few seconds. But holometabolism just means that they are not just partially changed. They are completely changed. And something about, something completely changes about not only how they, what their purpose is, but how they do things. The caterpillar does not eat like the butterfly does. And the caterpillar doesn't lay eggs like the butterfly does. And the caterpillar can't fly like the butterfly can. There are dramatic changes in these two creatures that come from the one egg. And the point I want to make about this is that we are kind of like the butterfly. We're kind of like the changes that are made in the butterfly. Let's think back for just a minute into the history of the people of God. And even before they turned to idolatry, and even before they fell away from God, they were warned that this was going to happen. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verses 1 through 3, it says, "When you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you." Moses is telling the people of God, even before this happened, that they're going to fall away from the Lord and they are going to go into idolatry. But he says, if you return to the Lord. Now that's what we call a change. Under the new law, or in the New Testament, we call it repentance. And that's what happened. God sent the people of Israel into slavery, scattered them all over the known world. But there was a remnant that came back. And those people had returned to the Lord. In the New Testament, we read about God's people turning away to hypocritical judgment. And God told them that they had to make a change. In Romans chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul told the Romans, "Do you think this, O man, you who judge those who practice such things, and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and the long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Here, God condemns them for their hypocritical judgment, but he tells them that the goodness of God and the fact that he's waiting on them to change will lead them to repentance, and that's what we're talking about this evening, a change. God's people also became haughty and boasted against the natural branches, those people being the Gentiles and the natural branches being the Jews. And God told them that they had to make a change. In Romans chapter 11, verses 21 through 23, here God says, "If God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fail severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Not continuing in unbelief is repentance. He's saying here, you Gentiles, be careful, because just like the Jews were cut off, you can be cut off too. And not only that, but the Jews who change and go back to obedience can be grafted back in. In this case, repentance is also necessary. God's people became materialistic and molded themselves to the world, and God told them that they had to make a change. In Romans chapter 12, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." He's condemning them, or warning them actually, not to be like the world, but to be transformed. And this is where the connection, a real good connection is between these ideas and the idea that we started with, the idea of metamorphosis. Because this transformation he's talking about here uses this a Greek word from which we get the word metamorphosis. So this kind of change here is the kind of change that's a complete change, a change like from the caterpillar to the butterfly. We need to make that kind of a change, that drastic of a change in our lives, from being in evil to being in God. Like the transformation of the butterfly, the change needs to be complete. So I'd like to leave you with one more passage from Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore," this is after talking to those who were being written to about being about babes and unskillful in the word in verse 13 of chapter 5, he goes on to say, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." Our change needs to keep on going. We need to be striving more and more toward perfection in the sight of God.